As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to speak on the subject this morning, what to do with sin. And before I start, as sort of an introduction and as a foundation for my message, I want to make sure that everybody understands what sin is. You see, you don't need to go to Bible college. You don't even need to go to church for a long time to understand sin. God made it real simple so that even a little child can understand what sin's all about. Sin, in its simplest form, is disobedience to God. Sin is deciding not to do what God says to do, or it's deciding to do what God says not to do. Sin is not something that sneaks up on you. It's not something that takes you by surprise. Sin, in every case, is a decision that you and I make. You see, every single one of us, and in fact, every little baby that's here and in the nursery this morning, is born with a sin nature. That means they are bent to sin. I heard a message a couple days ago, and the preacher was saying, every little baby is a liar. And you say, oh, no, not my little baby. Yeah, when they cry and you go in and pick them up, and then they quit, and then you put them back down in the bed and they start crying again, they're lying to you. They don't need nothing. They just want their own way. They want somebody to pick them up and hold them. And so all of us are born with that sin nature. But I believe, and what we believe, is that until that little baby reaches that time in life where they understand the difference between right and wrong, that there's a difference between doing what God wants them to do and not doing what God doesn't want them to do, until they reach that time in life, they are not held accountable. We are not held accountable until we reach that time in life we are doing wrong. We make a decision to do wrong. And by the way, the Bible says that we're all sinners. You see, this message that I want to share with you this morning, what to do with sin, applies to every single person in this room, because we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our standard is not to compare ourselves to one another. Our standard is to compare ourselves to the glory of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do my Father's will. And every time Jesus decided to do what God wanted him to do. That's why God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He was always, always obedient. Not only does this message apply to every single person here, but this message is important for every single person here. Because the Bible says, and Brother Chuck read it in the last verse that we read, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In the book of Romans, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, the Bible's not talking about physical death. Although sin sometimes brings on physical death, speeds up physical death, the wages of sin is not physical death. The wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. I mean, our physical death is when our soul, that part of us that's really us, is separated from this body that we use here on earth. Spiritual death is when our spirit, that part of us that's made to commune with God, to fellowship with God, is separated from Him. And it's sin that separates us from God. In the beginning, sin separated Adam and Eve from God. On the cross, sin separated Jesus for a moment from His Heavenly Father. And it's sin today that separates us from God. So here's the question of the morning. Here's the substance of my message this morning is, what do we do with sin? I mean, we're all sinners. We all stand under the penalty of sin. What do we do with sin? How do we get out from under the penalty? How do we fix it? This morning, I want to tell you three things that don't work, and then one thing that does. You see, as I go back in the Bible and I read about people just like you and me, I find three different ways that people have tried to fix sin. Three different ways that people have tried to deal with sin. Number one, I see people that have tried to blame others for their sin. This is what Adam tried in the book of Genesis. God came to Adam, he gave him an instruction. He said, hey, Adam and Eve, You can eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You can eat of every other tree, but this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. Simple instruction. Wasn't a hard instruction. Wasn't a complicated instruction. You can eat of all the other trees. This one right there, leave it alone. Don't eat of it. Adam willfully decided to eat of the tree. He willfully decided to disobey God. And God comes to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam was hiding from God. And here's what God said. Hey, Adam, have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Adam, did you eat of the one tree I told you to leave alone? Here's what Adam said. He said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I may have disobeyed you, God, but it wasn't my fault. The woman, she was the one that gave me that fruit. If anybody's to blame, it's Eve. Oh, and by the way, God, you gave that woman to me. I think you got some fault in this thing, too. It's not my fault. It's Eve's fault. It's your fault. I want to tell you, mankind hasn't changed. Still today, we are trying to blame somebody else for our sins. We say, well, it must have been my grandpa that caused me to be a sinner. Or it was my mother. She didn't raise me quite right, and that's why I'm a sinner. Or it's the environment that I live in. By the way, God, you're the one that gave me my grandpa, and you're the one that gave me my mother, and you're the one that put me in the place where I live. I think you got some fault in this thing too, God. You see, we haven't changed from the Garden of Eden. We want to blame somebody else for our sin. I want to tell you this morning, if you want to see the one that's responsible for you being a sinner, then go stand before a mirror, look yourself in an eye, because you and I are sinners because we chose to be. We made a decision to disobey God. We made a decision to do something he said, thou shalt not, or we made a decision not to do when he said, thou shalt. And that's what's made us a sinner. It's not, look, you may have had a bad grandpa. Maybe your mother wasn't everything she was supposed to be. Maybe the environment that you live in is not the perfect environment. But you are not a sinner this morning because of grandpa or mama or home. You are a sinner this morning because you chose to be. You made a choice. We need to have enough courage to say like David did in Psalm 51 when God confronted him with his sin, I have sinned. I'm the one. I have sinned. Blaming other people for our sin won't fix it. There's a second thing I see in the Bible that men have tried to do to deal with their sin. They try to hide it. They try to hide it. It's what Achan did in the book of Joshua. God's instructions as the people of Israel were coming in to the promised land. It came to the first city called Jericho. And God said this, everything in the city is mine. All the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Everything in that city, God said, is mine. Leave it alone. Don't take it. Achan decided to do something different. Achan decided to take from Jericho. Achan decided to take from God some silver, some gold, and a garment. And he took them. And here's what he thought. Nobody will ever know. I'm going to go dig a hole underneath my tent. I'm going to put that gold. I'm going to put that silver. I'm going to put that garment in that hole. I'm going to cover it up. And nobody will ever know that I've sinned. I'm sure Achan's, well, I'm not sure, but I sort of think Achan's wife didn't know what he did. I don't think Achan's children knew what he did. I don't think Achan's parents knew what he did. You see, we can hide our sin from our parents. We can hide our sins from our spouse. We can even hide our sins from our children. But I want to tell you this morning, we can't hide our sins from God. Can't hide them from God. Joshua faces Achan in chapter 7, and he says this, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered, "Indeed, I have sinned. I saw the garment, I saw the silver, I saw the gold. I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth." And many people today are still trying to hide their sins from others. And we can, in many cases, hide the sins from those that are closest to us, but we can't hide it from God. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23, here's what the Bible says. "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We can cover it up with the earth. We can put it in a closet and hide it up on the top shelf. You can hide your sin in many different ways, and you can hide it from many different people. But let me remind you this morning, let me tell you this morning, you can't hide it from God. Even the sins that take place in the realm of our mind that nobody can see, that maybe never come out, God knows. And hiding it won't fix it. There's a third thing I see in the Bible that men try to do with sin. They try to justify it. It's what Saul tried in the book of 1 Samuel. God's instructions was simple. Hey, in all three of these cases, the instructions weren't complicated. The instructions were very simple. In the case of Saul, God said this, "I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites." Here's what God said, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and sucking ox and sheep, camel and ass." God said, "Out, Saul, I want you to go destroy the whole city. Kill everybody. Every man, woman, boy, girl, baby, animal. Kill them all. Utterly destroy them." Saul had a different idea. He went to Amalek. And as the Bible says, as God said about him later on in that chapter, he says, "He hath not performed my commandments." Here's what he did. He saved the best sheep. He saved the best oxen. He saved the king. And when he came back to Samuel, a prophet of God, Saul said, "Hey, I've done exactly what God told me to do." And Samuel looks him right in the eye and said, "Well, then how come I hear sheep bleating and oxen lowing? If you did exactly what God told you to do, then why is there sheep alive and why is there oxen alive?" And Saul said, "Oh, well, we saved the best for God. We saved the best to sacrifice to God." And here's what Saul said. He said, here's what Samuel said to Saul. He said, "You can try to justify it all you want, but to obey is better than sacrifice." And people today are still trying to justify sin. I want to tell you something. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Huh? Let's just get right down to it. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. We can try to justify our sin and dress it up and call it all things that we can and try to justify it in God's sight. But God says to obey is better than sacrifice. We can call sin sickness, but it's still sin. We can call it an alternate lifestyle, but it's still sin. We can call it a woman's choice, but it's still a sin. We can try to justify our sin till the cows come home, but in God's sight, it's still sin. And trying to justify it won't fix it. Well, what will fix it? I mean, if I can't justify it, if I can't hide it, if I can't blame somebody else for it, what can I do and what can you do to fix my sin? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all stand under the penalty of sin. What can we do to fix it? I got some news for you. We can't do nothing. You and I can't do nothing. There's nothing I can do to fix my sin. There's nothing you can do to fix your sin. The Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." But what we cannot do for ourselves, God did for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, the penalty of sin, God's not going to commute. The penalty of sin, God is, I mean, he's a merciful God, but every single person has to pay the penalty for sin. And what Jesus did for every single one of us was when he went to Calvary, he paid the price for us. He paid our debt. He paid what we owed for sin. That's why in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Here, let me just show you real quick what that means. Brother Cliff, stand up just for a minute, would you? You might have to grab a songbook and come up here. And Terry, grab a songbook and come up here. Brother Chuck, grab a songbook and come up here. All right? Here's Micah. This songbook represents his sins. Here's Terry. This songbook represents his sins. Here's Chuck. This songbook represents his sins. Now, if we could really see their sins, probably be here. But we can't see their sins this morning. By the way, I'm going to give you license too, that they'd be better in the book. But here's what God did. Every single one of them, because they're a sinner, owe a penalty of sin. And that penalty is death, to be separated from God. But here's what God did. He took every sins and he laid them on Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he paid for every sins. God took my sins, laid him on Christ. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid the price of my sins. God took Brother Chuck's sins, laid him on Christ. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for every sin that Brother Chuck has ever committed. And by the way, I could have every single person stand up. I could have every single person take a songbook as a picture of your sin. I could have every single person come to the front, and I could take that songbook representing God, that songbook that represents your sins, and I can tie them on Brother Cliff, who's representing Jesus Christ for us this morning. And I tell you unashamedly, I tell you with 100% confidence, that every sin of every person piled on the Lord Jesus Christ is paid for. Amen. If we could do that this morning, you would not walk back to your seat with even one sin left unpaid for. The Bible says he laid on him all of our sins. Thank you, man. So here's the question. What are you going to do this morning? What are you going to do this morning? If you're here this morning and you've never come to Jesus Christ, are you using one of these things that we talked about this morning? Are you trying to blame somebody else? Oh, I'm a sinner, but not my fault. Yes, it is. You're a sinner because you want to be. You're a sinner because you decided to disobey God. Are you trying to hide it? Have you got it buried somewhere deep down in your heart and your soul and say, nobody will ever see it there. No person will ever see it, but your God sees it. And you can call it whatever you want. You can justify it in any way you can think of. But in God's sight, sin is still sin. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning you stand under the condemnation of God. The wages of sin is death. Brother Cliff, stand up just for 1 minute. Now here's what God offers this morning. Jesus Christ. You can come and take your sins and put them all on him. In fact, I've got good news for you. God's already done that. All your sins are on Jesus. What you got to do is come and take them. You got to receive them. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Thank you, Brother Cliff. So what you're going to do this morning? You're going to leave this place blaming somebody else? Going to leave this place thinking your sins are hidden? Going to leave this place trying to justify them in the sight of God? Or are you going to come and do the one thing that we could not do for ourselves, but that God did for every single one of us, when he sent Jesus to pay for our sins? Here's what I'd recommend to you. I'd recommend you come take Jesus. I'll tell you from personal experience, it works. I'm a sinner, but I'm on my way to heaven this morning, because I have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have that same thing. You can have that same relationship, but you don't get it any other way by coming through Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for making it so simple that even a little child can understand. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never received Jesus, man, woman, boy, girl, don't care if they've been here 100 times or if this is their first time. Father, if there's somebody here, just one person, that's never brought their sins and given them to Jesus, never acknowledged, never accepted what he did for them on Calvary's cross, I pray this morning would be the day. I pray this morning would be the time. I pray that they would come in just a moment and say, hey, I'm trusting Christ, and I'm trusting him for what he did for me on Calvary to take care of all my sins, to fix it. And I pray, Father, you'd help every single person that's never received Christ do it this morning. Bless the invitation. If there's a Christian here, somebody that's already received Jesus and they've never been baptized, or if there's Christians here that have been that you're leading to join this church, I pray that we would be obedient this morning and we would do exactly what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.